بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Yesterday we began the discussion on the etiquettes of parents. We have the last point remaining. Etiquette number 21. Rights of parents whilst they are alive are, the rights of parents whilst they are alive are to love them, to honor them, to obey them. So put our minds into perspective, whether we have both the parents or just our fathers or just our mothers. So to show them love, to honor them, to obey them, to treat their family members and friends kindly, to assist them financially. The hadith Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned to a sahabi after his father complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he mentioned that Sahabi, أنت ومالك لأبيك, that you and all your wealth belong to your father. You and all your wealth belong to your father, because your father is an external cause for you coming into this world. Yes, there are terms and conditions, but generally the hadith is عام in general, that you and all your wealth belong to your father. If there is a need for him, then he has a share in your wealth also. To make dua for them. So to love them, to honor them, to obey them, to treat their family members and friends kindly, to assist them financially, to make dua for them. Rights of parents after their demise are to take part in the burial, to fulfill their bequests, if they made any bequests in their will, to distribute their inheritance correctly and pay their debts, to keep contact with their family and members and friends, to make dua for them and convey rewards to them, isal sawab, and to visit the graves at least once a week, if possible, for males only. The next chapter, etiquette of spouses, husband and wife. The family is the nucleus of an Islamic society, and marriage is the only way to bring families into existence. Marriage is the only way to bring families into existence. And this is matlub and desired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam mentioned, تَزَوَّجُوا الْوَلُودَ الْوَدُودِ تَزَوَّجُوا وَلُودَ الْوَدُودِ فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Then marry women that are وَلُودَ الْوَدُودِ, that will bear children for you and that will love you. Because on the day of Qiyamah, I will take great pride in the number of my ummatis. So increase the ummat. In Sharia, when it comes to family planning, that's only in dire circumstances. In dire circumstances where, because of the ill health of the wife, or whatever be her emotional, mental state of mind, etc., then after consulting with the ulama ikram. But nowadays, before, person is just newly wed, already the family planning, or there's some birth control. This is a system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want to tamper with having children. This is Allah ta'ala's qudrat, His power, His system. Who he wants to give, how he wants to give, what kind of children. So we don't know tamper with the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's great amount of kharabi and corruption and problems when we tamper with the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's much detail in regards to it also. Those countries have went into it. And now there's no manpower in the country, and how they're hiring, outsourcing from other countries. And how the entire infrastructure that was put up there for so many citizens now is collapsing because they don't want to use it. There's a lot of detail in regards to it. So as we can see now, one was family planning. Now they've gone to the next stage now. Not even family planning, as someone was saying, if you put two or three or four or six people on an island, all males or all females, after 100 years you'll only find skeletons. Or just put one couple on an island, after 100 years you'll find a community. This is what they don't want. This is what they don't want. They want to make the human race extinct or control it. Because they have the fear that population explosion, that enough food in the world to sustain all the populace, therefore we've got to control. But the amazing thing is those countries where the population is so big, you get plenty of food. Go India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Afghanistan. There's no shortage of food whatsoever. No shortage. And even the prices also are much cheaper than the first world countries. You'll pick up fruits anyway. Now last year we were in Pakistan. Only Mazhar Sahib, Dhamma Barakatuhu, were driving down a long street in Karachi. And he said, Moana Deko, itne phal hai. Look at the fruits vendors. Fruit vendors, almost kilometers. One is just selling now 2-3 fruits. And the colors upon colors, upon colors. They're asking me, Moana, in your country you'll find like this. I said, no, I said, you've got to look for them. Here and there. I said, Deko, you can pick up how many types of fruits just on one street only. And every street corner you go, these vendors. It's packed up amount of fruits. And he says that the most amazing thing behind all of this, he said, most of this fruit has come from Afghanistan. Where they say there's poverty. He says, there's no poverty. There's plenty of food. Yes, they might not be as rich as before. They don't have the cash. Like Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They didn't have the cash, but they had the food and they had the means. Nabi Ali salatu salam told him when it came to the nisab of fitra, how to discharge the fitra, zakatul fitr, they'd give now 1 sa', 3.2 kilos of khajur, of dates, or half a kilo of barley or wheat, etc. He told him in this form, given khajur, in wheat, in barley, in raisins, because these food items they had at home, they didn't have the cash. They were bartering. When they had dirhams and dinars, then they would purchase. But they had food at home, more or less. Unless they give it up with the part of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Otherwise they had by them. He says, they go, oh, let's get from. The best of the fruits are coming from there. He says, you can understand now, if they are exporting, it means they got so much locally also, to feed the populace. A healthy Muslim society depends on a sound Islamic environment. Happy couples make happy families. Happy couples make happy families who make healthy societies. The union of two souls is a fiber which weaves society together. For this reason, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam emphasized the importance of appropriate conduct after marriage, so that it endures, so that the marriage endures and it lasts, and becomes the coolness of the eyes, in the words of the Quran Sharif. So this is nikah, and nikah is such a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that came from Jannat. Nikah came from Jannat into this world, and this is one of the bounties we take back to Jannat also. So here ulama say, have the simple sunnat nikah. And there, mashallah, you can have your fairy tale nikah. Tell our daughters, they can have it there. There, what kind of wedding dress you want, how long you want it, and how you want it, Allah will give you, you can make your whole nikah again over there. But we know the musturat and ladies are asking also nowadays that, Morana, when I go to Jannat, I have to stay with this man. We have to stay, I'm stuck with him over here. In Jannat too, I'm stuck with him. The Allah will take out all the malice from the heart and the misunderstandings and everything else. Dunya is a place like this now. Is that 100% nobody's life is perfect? A happy marriage is not made in heaven. Nor is it made in some novels that they are reading or some websites they are browsing, that nikah and marriage life supposed to be like this, like on fairy tale, once upon a time and forever thereafter. It's not nikah, we know the reality. It's only story there in the books, which they hoped now that nikah was like that. And as we mentioned many a times, unfortunately the youngsters, the girls also watch all these, what do you call them, series or operas, whatever it is, and they feel our nikah has to be like this. Nikah has to be like this, that what a blissful life, what holiday they are having, etc., etc. They feel now this is how it's supposed to be, but we know this is the reality. These are actors putting up an act and they're getting paid for it and they're getting awards for it. But their own private life is in shambles. Their own nikahs are in shambles. It's only an act they put up. But we believe it. It's supposed to be like this. But it's not like that. A happy marriage is not made in heaven. Nor does it flourish on its own. It doesn't flourish on its own. It has zero sacrifice. It has to be continually nurtured and preserved. Marriage can be a source of enormous tranquility. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا Allah Ta'ala says, among the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's made your spouses from your own species, from your own human race, so that you may get sukoon and tranquility within your wives. Yet it can also become a root of the greatest pain, sorrow and heartbreaks. Once two people have committed themselves to each other, they should move mountains in order to stay together. And you ask the counselors, they will tell you, they will tell you, one very senior counselor too, recently somebody asked them, in regards to divorces and breakdown of marriages, and the counselor had mentioned, so many cases I've been through, And 99% of those cases wasn't supposed to be talaq. Just a little bit of patience and sabr. And according to these stats also, he said there's no solid reason for the breakdown of that marriage or for talaq to occur. It's just hastiness. What we thought is just false expectations. I expected married life to be like this. Just expectations. They're building now castles in the air. They don't realize it's commitment, it's sacrifice, it's qurbani. I have to let go of my ego and my pride. But we're coming into marriage now with all the baggage. Biggest baggage now is the WhatsApp. So many contacts. That's how we tell the fathers, don't give the young girls the WhatsApp phone, because when they will get married, they already have 100 contacts. My husband now will be contact number 101. So he's got a footnote into my system. So I need me time, my time, whatever time it is now. And they've already come into the marriage with so many things already. They haven't come fully committed. That this is my husband. My life is to make this home right now. My life and my time is to make this home. Already they're coming now. I have these taqazas already. I've got my gymming and I've got this and I've got my friends and friends and friends. They haven't made the spouses their real friends and they don't want to make the sabr and build a home. So yes, once two people have committed themselves to each other, they should move mountains in order to stay together. It takes time and effort to blend two lives. Many marriages do not last because partners take the view that if it does not work, they will simply end the marriage. They already come with this. And in recent times, they found this MPL, Muslim Personal Law, that they want to promulgate in parliament. Some women feminist movements are pushing for it. And some of the Muslim organizations that you should have a pre-marriage contract where the wife or the future bride can go to the lawyer and she can append it to the nikah agreement that in the case of communication breakdown or incompatibility, then I have the right as a wife to issue the talaq. Husband will sign it. This is not the time of nikah. One person phoned me, Mufti Sahib, they gave me this whole contract now, before the nikah, that I must sign all these things off now to my wife and to her family. So already now, they're coming in the nikah with all of this now. In case it doesn't work out. And even the boy's side also, when it comes to the future mother-in-laws, they'll buy all the janhu and the jewelry. But they say, don't give anything. Now, I'm giving it to you. It belongs to you. And slowly you can release one by one, depending. First baby comes and you give one ring. Second baby, then you give the bracelet. Don't give everything one time in case it don't work out. Then now we've given everything, we can't take it back. So all these reservations are coming into the nikah. So how's the nikah going to work now? There's so much of insecurity. Every party can feel these things over here. So many marriages do not last because partners take the view that if it does not work, they will simply end the marriage. And the fathers say also, better you in my house than staying with him. So she goes with this temperament and this mizaj already. This shows, and the worst of things, ulama that been through cases is that most of the parents, after getting the children married, they don't want to cut the umbilical cord. Mothers don't want to cut it. They still want full control. Whether over the daughter, whether over the son. Where are you going? What are you doing? What's happening? And many husbands are complaining. Every half an hour, mother is phoning. Who chair? Who courage? What are you doing? What are you cooking? What time are you doing this? What time are you doing that? What time he's going? What time he's coming? And then your in-laws, they're coming. They whole day with the mother. The whole day with the mother. Ajeeb things that are happening, we can't even mention it over here in the bayans also. To what extent now the mothers want control? Just on the first night, the mother will send a message, supposed to in the morning, that everything went through. It was report that time also. Husband says, I got disgusted. Ya Allah. At this time also now. No break at all. The whole day the mother wants to know. Mother is living in anxiety. And the husband now, it's time for him to have his honeymoon after 40. But now the mothers are living the lives of the children. Their emotions, their daily routine. Everything they want to know. So So they can't even live their own lives at home. Husband comes, the wife is stressed out. What happened? No, this happened in the home today. That happened. This is happening. Oh, the in-laws are coming. Weekend is only Monday. In-laws are coming. And now she's parishan. Don't give her a chance now to build a home. It's only the mother and the mother. And I'll send for you. I'll cook. I'll do this. And now the husband thought, I'll have a break. My honeymoon will start. But now she's got five kids. She's leading five more lives now. Every home she's controlling. The amount of strain, stress, anxiety, and everything else. And the wife brings down all the time. This house is not going right. And that house is not going right. So there's no chain and no peace of mind. All because of this phone. Tell the children, go on to Amal. Turn to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Make your home. Make the sabr. Be happy. Make shukr to Allah. This word sabr now has become more than shukr nowadays. Make shukr for so much you have. Little bit emotions, emotional stress you'll have to go through. But alhamdulillah, what aren't the husband's providing nowadays? Anything the wife wants to the best of his ability, he's providing. So these are one of the challenges we're having in society right now. One is the parents, one is the mothers, they don't want to let go. And the fathers tell the daughters, we have a problem, just pick up the phone and tell me. I'll sort him out. We don't tell them. And the other one also is not correct. Other extreme also, where we tell the daughters like before, that you've gone from here now, your janaza must come out from there. Now you gave him free license, you can make a pulp also. She's not coming back home, she's gone. No. If injustice is taking place, zulam is taking place, is incorrect, is not right, then yes, obviously we have to remedy it. So just tell her now, you must suffer your entire life like that. Is that correct also? But there has to be a balance. Sharia is very fair and very just. So many marriages not last because partners take the view that if it does not work, they will simply end the marriage. This shows lack of commitment, a lack of drive, and is deficient by nature. This marriage is almost doomed from the start. Marriage is very similar to constructing a building. It requires a strong foundation that can withstand the storms and shocks of stress. Can withstand it. Yes, it will happen. This is Allah Ta'ala's system of this worldly life. All these things must happen in marriage. The whole package will come with it. The stress, the anxiety. But we have to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba radiallahu anhum is mentioned also when we discuss the sifat of Sahaba radiallahu anhum when it comes to ilm and dhikr, that every home has to be connected to the masjid. Husband has to be connected. And whichever alim is connected to, the family is connected to that alim. So any masail, any problem, any stress, any anxiety, we have now some backup support. We have backup support now who we can contact. We take advice. We have trust in the alim. Otherwise, there's nobody, there's no spiritual help. Then, as we always mention, there's no vacuum in the house. Somebody will fill that space. Is that going to be the deen of Allah, an alim of deen, or some ustaz? Then shaitan will be there. Nafs will be there. Egos will be there. Pride will be there. And things will just get worse, and just get worse. And then the hatred, and then the hearts will turn around. So it has to be, it must be so strong the foundation that can withstand the storms and shocks of stress. The adhesive that binds couples together is love and mercy. Love and mercy. Mawaddata wa rahma. Quran says that in the beginning of the marriage there will be mawadda. Allah will create the muhabbat. Allah will create the muhabbat after the nikah, not before the nikah. Before the nikah, whatever that boy feels now, that is not muhabbat from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That's now from his nafs and shaitan. It's making him feel like that. That's not genuine. Muhabbat Allah creates only after you say nakahtuha. Then Allah creates true muhabbat and love. And that's in the beginning of nikah. Then mufassirin say, towards the end of the nikah, Allah Ta'ala creates rahmat, mercy between the spouses. Now we know each other's habits, each other's moods and moves. Now he takes pity upon her. He has rahmat upon her. That she's made so much of my khidmat. That she stuck all my moods and my nakhras and everything else. She's still with me. And now he has mercy upon her and he looks after her. Because she was there for him and so too she feels the same. Now there's rahmat. Is no rahmat now? Then what will happen? Like one old couple came once and Baji was over 80 years old. Came for counseling. And he brought Appa and came also. Sits on the sofa. He says, Mufti Sahib, you give me a fatwa. Appa is an old lady, put to be my granny also, sitting on parada there, wearing his socks too. You tell me what's the status of a disobedient wife? I say, Inna lillahi. But you're over 80 years old. Over 80 years old, and their children were there, much older than me also. So I asked him, what's the problem? I can't give a fatwa like this. And he opened up all the files, and Appa just said, they're absolutely quiet. Didn't say one word. She kept his respect completely. Didn't say anything about him. Nothing. The children say, no, he's retired. So he's sitting at home. And holy, checking what she's doing. What are you doing? So much of water are you using? Now are you telling the maid to do that? Why you can't do it? Holy behind the maid, holy behind the Appa. Why are you taking that medication? Why are you taking that dawa also? Where you got that from? So holy was on her back. Because sitting at home. So the ilaj was by taking back to the shop now. Let him sit over there. Sitting at home now. Now he is. And so everybody is now into the face now, and he has to control everything. No rahmat for her. No mercy for her. And he's telling me now she got no mercy in the domestic, making her work the whole day. Making her work the whole day, and now he's behind her back. So rahmat in old age. Where now the old man has only good words for the old lady. Good words, muhabbat, sweet words. Zakim Sahib will say rahmatullah alayhi that now she's gone old, she's not as when she was young, but old Mota, he still feels he's very young still. Sakim Sahib would say this thing to the old people also. He says he's 80 years old, he's as cold as a deep freezer, he's lying in the hospital bed, Dr. Sahib will tell you. 80 years old and he's got all the tubes, etc. But he's still looking at the nurses. So he can't do anything, but he can look. But he's still looking. Still looking, and then when Appa will come to visit him, why you came late? We're not waiting so long. She comes and his mood changes. But the other nurses come and very sweet, thank you sister, thank you sister. I need to go to the toilet. When the Appa will come, then his mood changes. He says, no rahmat, no mercies for her. Now's the time to have rahmat and muhabbat. Zakim Sahib will say also, make her happy. With the pleasure of Allah, make her happy. Take it upon your heart, no matter what happened in the past or what's happening right now. Have a rahmat upon her, and he would explain and he would teach us also how to make muhabbat. He would say, go home and tell the old lady, hey Mary Guria, as Hakim Sahib was, hey Mary Guria, Mary Sakkar Ki Puriya. You tell her, oh my doll, my sugar bag. Go tell her some nice words. He said, now, when she came now, she was like a Coke bottle, now she's like a 5-liter drum oil bottle. He said, still make her happy. Allah will become happy with you. Tell her a few words, make her excited also. She feels shy. But you see, this is muhabbat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. I'm doing it for the sake of my Allah. I will make her happy, Allah will become happy. So Ajib Abu Akabir also, he says, our deen teaches us to be romantic. How to be romantic in our young age also. Not only when you had your lust and your desires, when you go on old also, how to make her feel good. The fear of reckoning is the only way. The fear of reckoning is the only way in which one will sincerely fulfill the rights of the other. By acting on the following guidelines, inshallah, our marriages will become more enjoyable, love will increase, and we will attain success in both worlds. Number one, always make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must make us a good partner. Together with this, make dua for one spouse and for a happy marriage. Make the dua. Hazrat will say also, that we make dua, the youngsters, Ya Allah, give me a pious wife, give me a good wife, this. And he got the whole specs in his head, what kind of a wife he is. He wants, must be like this. Must be Lambi, Patri, Manjari. Hazrat says, MashaAllah, you want her like that? You go look in the mirror also and see how you look. Whether you match the profile or not. You look how you are. You ought to shape yourself also. But now you want very tall and thin and green eyes and long hair. He said, but you look now in the mirror and see how you look. And make dua, Hazrat will say, we make dua, Ya Allah, give me a pious wife. You see, you make dua, Ya Allah, make me a pious husband. Make me a pious husband to a pious wife. Adopt taqwa, Allah's consciousness. And be mindful of your duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. As piety is a stepping stone to a beautiful moral and spiritual character. Have taqwa in your marriage, Ya Ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. All these taqwa ayats are recited at the time of nikah also. Create an Islamic environment at home. You are the imam of the house. What you will implement, she will follow. If you don't bring deen in the house, then she will bring whatever she wants. So we have to implement deen. The first 6 months to the year of marriage is very important. What value system you will implement in the house, you will follow. The man has no value system. What he attaches value to. Whatever he will show in the beginning, that to me, my salah of Takbir-e-Ula is very important. And salah in the masjid, behind the imam. All this now psychologically will impact on the mind. That he has some values in his life. He's very particular. And when he'll go to the in-laws also, you will hear saying to a father, no, he did salah with jamaat, he won't do it at home. She already knows it. She will say it to her parents also. At certain things, you know, he does these things. His salah, daddy, he won't do it at home. He'll go to the masjid. Even with fa also. She understands already psychologically he has some values in his life. Then parents will say, but you know, we're going out tonight after Asr, we're leaving, we got some reservations. No, see, Asr to Maghrib is in the masjid, he won't come. It is Quran the time. It is Quran the time. So she already know that he has some values in his life. Now if he goes with no values, then ulama says she will come with her set of values or her set of rules and guidelines what she learnt at home. And sometimes not Islamic also. And what he'll say, I'm easy going. So an uncle said, don't say you're easy going, you won't get food also. You won't get food also. She said, you organize the food. Easy going, he said, you won't get food. He said, you must say no. We'll eat this time. And so he says, now if you don't put some values in the house and she doesn't have taqwa also, then namaz time she says, let's go shopping. 12 o'clock Sunday, upper stop is jamaat. She says, no, let's go now. I'm ready now. Let's go now. Namaz, we'll see when we finish. When we get back home, then we'll read namaz later on. Because we did put the value there. So namaz time, Quran time, gush time. No, I need to go now. I need to go now. But tonight, but we didn't implement it. We didn't come with any values. The imam didn't come with any values in the home. The imam will implement it as a husband. He's the imam of the home. So when he will implement the values, automatically she will follow. Automatically she will follow. It won't be so easy, but you will create that love, that muhabbah for the amal of deen. Otherwise the youngsters are going, and this is the girl of my dreams, and he's got nothing, no values whatsoever. So he'll go into there, I'm easy going, whatever you want, how you want it, when you want it, no problem. Just goes and is having maja and fun. And the time will come in his life when he'll want to change now. Now to implement it will not be so easy now. It'll be 10 times more difficult. It was easier in the beginning. Now it's more difficult, but it's never too late. As you mentioned, with the masturat, to turn them around is not difficult. Just good company, good amount of time, and what do you say? Good company, good environment, pious company, pious environment for a good amount of time, and their hearts will change. Women break down very quickly. They trust in the other woman, some apa they'll meet, and they'll open up. Once they open up, their hearts will break, and slowly they'll take to deen. They'll find the way, but the husband now is lagging behind. He doesn't have the push in him, the drive in him. He's still now sitting at home. She wants to change, but he can't make it to the masjid. And she'll tell him, what the children are going to see in you? You're not going for salah now. She wants to change. But he is now still lagging behind. And whatever we implement to be very important, with muhabbat and love and encouragement. With love, muhabbat and encouragement, not with stress and anxiety. But with love and muhabbat, then the family will come onto it. You must see the enjoyment of deen within the house. And he also, what happens many a time, the husband wants to implement his own thing. Now he's coming for majlis, or he's going for jamaat. Now he's got his own vibe, has he got his own vibe in the house. He wants to implement his own thing. And the wife says, but no, man, it's too hard. He said, no, Hazrat said. Which Hazrat? I'm also one Hazrat. Not saying which Hazrat now. He's self-appointed Hazrat of the house. He said, no, Hazrat said this. The Hazrat didn't say anything about this. He came with his own thing now, but he wants to implement it. Hazrat was balanced it. Eat day, was have lunch here, supper there. Hazrat gave the whole tar. Which Hazrat? You, the Hazrats. But now he uses the Hazrat's name everywhere. He says, no, be honest. With muhabbat, shafqat, understanding, mashwara, implement it. So create an Islamic environment at home, as this will bring peace and serenity in our lives. Never keep a television set, as this is the cause of many evils arising in the house. This is the biggest jadu, Hazrat says. Nobody is making jadu in the family. Nobody is putting nazar. The biggest nazar is the shaitani eye in the house. He's putting nazar on you. You're looking at him and you're enjoying him, and he's looking at you also. And what's worse than that? What is worse than that? Now Hazrat says we have the computer screen there. Oh, we have the TV screen over there. And on top of the TV screen we've got Ayatul Kursi. Or we've got the Quran cabinet next to it. He says, now imagine you've got haqq and you've got batil mixed together. What's going to happen? It's like you're putting now a steel pot in a microwave. There's going to be an explosion, radiation. Quran, Ayatul Kursi, the farewell sermon of Nabi Ali Salatu Salam, these things are giving off noor, high powered wattage. It's full of noor. And all coming from Kaaba Sharif. So that amount of noor now, this positive radiation. And now you've got a takrao. And now you've got an opposite radiation of negative radiation. What's going to happen? There is going to be an explosion in the house. And who's making the jadu? Myself. I'm the sangoma in the house. I'm making everything. So take out the evil and then let the noor come in the house. Let the noor come in the house. But now we have the TV already. The wife is used to it. I've got my programs. UK from here, take off. Now come and don't topple the house. With muhabbat and love. With muhabbat and love. If somehow we can put some virus in the screen, put some virus in it. TV broke down. Send it for repairs. Send it for repairs. And if you have to send it for repairs, my dear brothers, one note of advice, if you want to get rid of the TV, then donate it to one masjid, you can put the namaz time on it. So you get sawab now for buying the TV, inshallah. One Jamaat Khana is coming up, one Musalla is coming up, go and donate it to them. Got a nice big screen for you, you can put the namaz times there. Alhamdulillah, you're getting reward now for your TV license that you purchased. It's Allah sawab for you, sadqa jariya. So give it away there. Hazrat Hakim Sahib will say, rahmatullah alayhi, that if the wives have already habit of TV, and they're buying murat things for the children, dolls and this soft dolls and puppets, whatever now they're buying for them to play, full of murat, etc. Don't go and make a noise at home. It's haram. This angels won't come. You see, they won't like deen after that. You see, even for i'tikaf, even in jamaat, you're like a tyrant now. You're just coming in the house and bulldozing everybody. Go with muhabbat and love. Go and implement with muhabbat and love slowly and kindly. I understood something, it will take them time, but we do it with muhabbat and love. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahimullah would explain also. We'll explain also that now if she wants a TV, or the children want a TV, there's no TV in the house, and if they want, then he would say, I'm going to ask her, how much is the TV? 10,000, I don't know how much it is, 15,000, 5,000, no problem. No problem. He says, tell her, here's the card, here's the cash, you can go buy some jewelry for yourself, you can go buy the TV. He said, you know, she's going to go to Randari's by Obamudas. He said, I better go buy some jewelry. Or buy a diamond ring if you want. Or buy a diamond ring if you want. Or you can buy the TV, what you want to buy. He says, otherwise they feel you stingy. He says, give it to her. Tell her, go buy what you want. You know, buy that. Or you can buy something for yourself. It's up to you. And if they bought something wrong, in-laws bought now another appropriate toy for the child. He's got murat over there. The pyjamas are not right, or the toys aren't right. Don't go and tear it apart and say, how? You brought this in the house. Hazrat Hakim Sahib will say, rahmatullah alayhi, go buy a better toy without murat. And quietly take that one there away. And put this one near over there. The Sharia compliant. So they won't say now, he's a radical. But he substituted it for something better. Now he's just taking now all our fun away. Taking all our fun away. Because for them it's fun right now, all these things. Now he just came, now he's taking all our fun away. We can't live with him anymore. You know, substitute it. If now that viewing time, TV time, you're always stuck with it, now take them out and go play with them. Take the children out. Take their family out. There's nothing wrong with it. Our Kabir say also, because they're used to these things right now. So at night time, when he's not so busy, then take their family, take their wife if you have to alone, or take the children along, and go buy them a little bit of ice cream. Let them have some fun. They remember, hey, Abba takes us every week. We're waiting for that night again. How they will enjoy it. Go home, talk to them, make their family time. Now there's no time for TV. Then if he's looking also at TV, then ask him, you want to go out, let's go have something, come and buy you something. And see how excited they will get. Even if you buy them something cheap, but just taking them a drive, telling them some stories, put some bayan on in the car, or some nazam, etc. Just change the flavor a bit, slowly. Let them start enjoying it. Let them start enjoying it. So don't push it down the throat. Hazrat will say, very with love and muhabbat, slowly work. Ask ulama ikram, how do I do it now? How do I do it? I want to implement now. Parda in the family. Eid day is coming now. How do I do it? When finally going to ask now, how do I do it? Slowly implement it, muhabbat and with love, that they love the deen coming to the house. They say now, we don't go and tell them about the majlis. We don't go and tell them the sheikh said this. Oh, we don't go and tell them, I learned this in Jamaat, that we must do it. He said, don't go and tell them, you become that. You become now what the teachings are, they must see it practically in you. That this is how a real husband supposed to be, and they love you for that. What akhlaq? So much of softness, doesn't get angry, is that temperamental? What happened to you? Hazrat will say now, he went back home, and his whole akhlaq changed. He went 4 months in the path of Allah, he came back with so much of muhabbat and love, smiling all the time, doesn't get angry. That you'll hear the wife telling her friend on the phone, you know, this man, before he went, such a lion he was, now he came back, subhanAllah, I can't believe the change in him. You know what, you must send your husband also. You must send your husband also. He said, then he was, no, alhamdulillah, you got one tick at least. You got one tick. Alhamdulillah. Where should be? She won't tell you, but she'll tell her friend. She tell her friend that what a change in him, I can't believe it. He came back and such a difference in him, smiling all the time. Not difficult to smile, dear brothers, but we say that at home, you must just think to yourself that I'm a mazur person. I caught that person, married that girl. So just carry on smiling. Nothing is affecting me. Nothing is happening. Alhamdulillah. Good words, encouragement, muhabbat, love. And just carry on being nice. Carry on being nice. Carry on smiling. Come to the masjid and cry over there. But don't make anybody cry at home. Don't make them cry at home. Yes, if something haram is taking place in a nice, amicable manner, we got to stop it. This is the way we have to do it. Don't shout, don't scream. Masyullah Khan Sahib will say, Rahmatul Ali, tell them the first time, the second time, the third time. But very important, he says, don't get angry, don't become vulgar. Don't abuse. Nicely, politely, explain to the child, explain to the wife, oh, why is somebody who she trusts, somebody they can get to them, somebody who they trust, they will listen to. Then, in a nice, amicable way, we can do it. But don't get angry at home. So don't get angry at home. And Magda Sahib says also that when she gets angry now and she's shouting at you, just think now she's throwing flowers at you. She's just throwing flowers at you. Don't take it to be stones and rocks. She's throwing flowers. And a fruit tree, when you throw stones, it gives you fruit. So carry on smiling, like nothing is happening. I can't hear anything. Like this role, we can implement deen in the home. So make it enjoyable for them to come upon deen. Make it enjoyable for them. Then they love to come towards deen. Then the wife will say, better you go back to for the program. Every year go for itikaf. Go for the weekly programs also. Go join the gush. What a change in you. Alhamdulillah. The way we're enjoying our life at home now, it has gone so soft, so much, so understanding. And be a good listener. Carry on listen. Because the main things women say, he doesn't listen. I speak to him, he doesn't listen. And he's got an answer for everything. Is his solution and his way. There's no other way. So yes, they will pull their way, but we do it quietly. Let them believe now that they are controlling. Like one person told me, he says, Mufti Sahib, in my house, my wife is the head, but I'm the neck. So she thinks she's the head of the house, but I'm the neck. So I turn her when I want to. But she thinks she's the head, so I leave it like that. Wisdom. So she thinks she's the boss, I agree to everything. When I want to turn it, I just turn it to the right or to the left. I say, right, we're going this way now. That's it. In just 1-2 words, it gets done. Before she can understand what happened now, he's still now comprehending. He's rerouting. But already we took the other road. They never keep a television set, as this is the cause of many evils. Most magazines and newspapers have such evil pictures and subject matter, which destroys the character of those who read them. Now leave the newspapers and the magazines, it's the internet we know. Instagram is the worst thing, this TikTok is the worst thing. They're seeing all these things and they feel now it's a fantasy life, that we also must live it up like this. But they know, is that reality, is that true? Never allow such literature in the home. If a person is forced to use the internet, he should do so in an open place in the house, especially the children, in front of all, so that he is not tempted to venture into wrong sites. Make a salah place or room in the house. There has to be a place of salah. This is where we read namaz, and we have ta'aleem over here also. Fix a time for ta'aleem, dhikr, tilawat in the home. Make ishtimai, collective du'as at times also with the family. Once a week or once in 2 weeks that we make du'a, husband makes du'a and all say ameen. At least make it a habit in the home that we have collective dua also like this. We'll be uniting the hearts together. And there has to be ta'lim time. There has to be ta'lim time together. And we have children, they can read. Let them read. They get excited. My turn to read. My turn to read. My turn to read. Even they read 2-3 lines, they're learning to read a little bit. But it'll be so exciting for them now that they just learned to read recently and let him read the kitab a little bit. And you see the excitement. And they will come with the kitab. You say, Abba, talim time. It's my turn tonight. So like this we can increase the shauq and desire in the children also. Do not be concerned only with fulfilling your own religious. Do not be concerned only with fulfilling your own religious duties. It is your religious and moral obligation to encourage your spouse and children towards the Islamic duties with love, wisdom and patience. Find out if salah, dhikr, tilawat of Quran, etc. has been done instead of only asking for food. Very important, when the father comes in the house, you got to make elan. Namaz padi, you read namaz? You read your morning duas, evening duas, your night surahs? Even if it's not happening in the house, but you're making the elan, you're making the announcement, the children will grow up hearing this. Whenever father came now, it was about Quran, zikr, namaz, you read on time. Ask them, you made your wuzu, you made your miswak. These things, you've got to ask Islamic things. If we don't fill the space and time with these type of things, then something else will fill that space in the house. Something will fill the space in the house. So they must know. When the father will walk in now, he'll ask these things. Whether Quran tilawat took place, whether dhikr took place, how many durood there are today? I read 3 durood now. So we've got to make them implement it, make them do it. Children will not do it on their own. We know we didn't do it on our own. So they're not going to do it on their own. Even if you do it now, you reach the heights of taqwa, they're not going to do it automatically. We'll have to make them do it. So these things now we'll have to implement in the home when we go home. Not we ask now, is the food ready? I don't have time. But we've got to ask them these things about their dini activities. Also, and very importantly, we have to take the karguzaris, the report for the day. Who they met, what they did, where they went, who they spoke to. You have to find out. You've got to ask them. You've got to find out from the children. Acquaint yourself with the knowledge, reality and responsibilities of marriage. Remember that marriage is not only fulfillment of carnal desires, but fulfillment of responsibilities. Responsibility of the husband, as mentioned in kitabs, is maskan, masharab, ma'akal, malbas. 4 things they mentioned. One is accommodation for the family, for the wife and children. Then is the food, the drink and the clothing. We forget the most important thing is the deen also. That's the most important thing. He feels, now I fulfill my responsibilities. Alhamdulillah, I got a good home, which is very, very comfortable. Alhamdulillah, got the best of foods and drinks, whatever she wants is provided, the best of clothing, and we stop. Finished. That's marriage. No. What about her talim? What about her akhirat? That's your biggest responsibility. That's the biggest responsibility. That her daily talim, her weekly talim, that she goes a little bit, makes effort. Her own spiritual upliftment. And check her tajweed, her Quran tilawat. Go to her apa, get somebody to come home. Or she goes somewhere, take her for the lessons. That she has to learn also her deen. It's my responsibility. I just can't take her from her home. And I'm not even worried about that now. Nothing whatsoever. That is my biggest responsibility, is her ta'aleem. She's the mother of my children. How much deen she will have in her, that will go into the children. So we can take deen to the front door, and she is the one that will take it inside. She doesn't want it, it will stay outside. So I have to make the effort on her also, encourage her. And not easy to get her out now to go for the weekly ta'aleem. She will say, I'm not comfortable, they don't welcome me, they don't give me good face, I can't go with the baby will cry, people will get irritated, oh, these tunes they'll make now. So you've got to make a plan, speak to our local sakis, see what the ta'aleem is. The lady of the house is very accommodating, alhamdulillah. Make the call, tell the lady, send her a message. Man has to make some plan behind the scenes now. To get my wife for the program, the ladies and messenger, come join us for the talim. Don't worry about the baby. Bring the baby and come. Baby cries, we can go sit in the room, no problem. But come for 15 minutes of talim. At least she'll meet some pious company. And important for the ladies to welcome her also. Give her a warm hug. MashaAllah, you're part of our talim program. There's an apa in the locality. Let her go for the lessons over there. A little time in the week. There's a whole day will come out at home and they'll feel now. We feel now that this child is my day and my night. Children behind them the whole day, day and night. Children, oh, that one child. And the reality is, you know, when it comes to the ladies in Mustarat, whether they have 1, or they have 5, or they have 10, I can't manage. Doesn't make a difference whether I have 1, or I have 5. We still can't manage it. So the man has to continue his work by. He can't stop at one or two. This Ramek Moshwarana was her mental state also. But Allah Ta'ala has built them, Allah Ta'ala has given them. They are the mothers of the ummah. They are, subhanallah, ulama explained that the status of the mother in the ummah, Allah has given a very, very high status. Whereas nowadays, Western society has stripped of that maqam and status of hers. You want to put her now in the corporate world. Put her out in the business. In the business world to challenge the men out there. Then I also can challenge you. I also have so many degrees and I can also climb up the ladder. That in reality now is not climbing up the ladder. Woman's status is not go out and challenge the men. Her status is to produce the men. To produce the men and to nurture them and to send them out. And I control from behind the scenes. Not to go out there and challenge the men. It's a man's world out there. For them is to produce the men of the ummah. And to bring them up and to put these values in their hearts. But now you go and you do the work and we'll control from behind the scenes. That is Allah Ta'ala has given them that status. So we have to make fikr now for the ta'lim. We have to make dua also, make some plan, speak to the local brothers in the masjid, speak to ulama ikram, my wife who just married, what about her ta'lim, what about her dini education? I can't just leave it as she came. I gotta enhance it. Everything else I'm doing for her, alhamdulillah. When she came now, she was a simple girl, alhamdulillah, Ta'ala gave us the means, we climbed up the ladder in dunya, now she came to a different level. What about her deen? I still the same maktab. What she learned over there, she came with that, I didn't make any difference to it. Father had a little concern for her, so he sent her a little bit for ta'lim, but I did nothing thereafter. I just left it as is. Never concerned about her deeni progress. Under no circumstances should you compel your spouse or children to obey you in any act that contravenes the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, you should not succumb to the un-Islamic dictates of your spouse and children. Balance how to do it now. Some un-Islamic things in the home. Or don't take them now to un-Islamic things also. As the Tami would say, rahmatullah alayh, that the worst thing for children is exposure to things they're not supposed to be exposed to. Once a child saw it, tasted it, or she saw it, then don't say you can't have it again. Or it's not for you. You showed the child already. And you give an example. You took the little girl now to a non-Islamic wedding function. And she saw the stage and everything. It's going to catch her heart. Then you say, no, you can't have nikah like that. Haram. But you took me, I saw it. Now I want a nikah like that. You took the young boy somewhere. Now I tell you, no, you can't do it again. But you took him there. Now he tasted it. Now it's a battle of his nafs now. From that young age, he's going to fight his nafs. If we didn't show him, he didn't know about it, there's no battle with the nafs. You grew up simple, straightforward in your masjid, in your ta'lim, in your the amal of deen. But prematurely now, we take them to the avenues, and then we tell them, sorry, we can't do it. But please, you want to go there. You took us last time, why are we not going again? Uncle is going, cousins are going. Now they tasted it already. The biggest qurban is for the parents. And if you don't have to take them shopping, don't take them also. There's no need to take them shopping. The worst thing he would say is where you allow the child freedom of choice. Take them in, right, take what you all want. Father never had it. Now he feels I've got the money, so now let me give it to the children. Show them who's the boss. I can afford it. I got the financial muscle. So take them and each child got his own trolley. I take what you all want. Inna lillahi. Spoiling the children. Take what you all want. Take the little girl shopping, mother will tell her, right, what you want. That the child at 5 years old, she already has a choice. No, I don't like that. I don't wear this. There should be no choice for them. The time will come now where they can choose. Already from so young, then we know the mother gives her the choice now at 5. At 15, now there's a fight in the house. Mother says, you can't wear that. I'm going to wear it. And you can't stop me. You created the monster. You gave her the choice. You showed her the avenues. You took her to the places. She saw it already. My friends are wearing it like that. You don't tell me how to dress now. At 15, the child will tell you where to get off. Because at 5, you took him and you showed him and you showed her. Now, the nafs becomes very strong. They also have a nafs. At 2 years old already, the nafs is there. The nafs wants it. It wants it. The child will cry and cry and cry. But we have to. We don't give in to those tantrums. Quietly, nicely, piyar, muhabbat, let them go through it. But we can't let them have what they want. Otherwise, we are creating the monsters. The child doesn't listen. Sitting in the car, I don't want to go. I don't want to go here. And he's kicking you from behind. And the father is still cool and he's smiling. He's still cool and smiling. And the child is all over the car. He's throwing tantrums. And the father says, we're used to it now. You know, in the old days now, by then already he'll be standing on the street with two, three clubs. When you cool down, we pick you up again. He learned his lesson for life. Now he's scared. He's scared for the children. As the Hadith Sharif says, the woman will give birth to their masters. They'll control the seed. And this culture is coming. They know that what corporal punishment. The Hadith Sharif says, don't spare the rod. The Shaykh has mentioned in Fazal Amal, keep the rod hanging in your house. Not to abuse the child. But he must know that you will be reprimanded. There are repercussions. If you overstep the bounds, then there will be repercussions. And ulama give the whole detail now, when to make tarbiyat, when to hit the child, how to hit the child. He says, don't become angry, act angry. If you're really angry, then walk away. But act like you're angry. But you got control of yourself. And how to discipline if you have to, not more than 3 shots. And not on soft, sensitive parts of the child's body. And such shots also, they don't leave any marks behind. Otherwise you're taking out anger. You become the zalim and this is abuse. Allah will not accept this. So 3 shots maximum, and not the soft spots, maybe on the bottom, on the leg maybe, just 1, 2. And not to take out anger. Don't hit the child like how you'll fight with an adult. Sometimes the adult will hit the child like how you hit an adult also. With that amount of force and pain. So, out of tarbiyat, with that now is dua also. So you're not expressing, you're not exhibiting, you're not letting go of your anger now, and fulfilling the need of my anger. This is tarbiyat to my child. That is completely permissible. That is jaiz. There now you can discipline the child in that manner. And here Hazrat Hakim Sahib will say, rahmatullah alayhi also, that also the husband has to read the situation properly. When he comes home, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, he comes home, right, he's got 2, 3 children, 5 children, sometimes he's got twins, triplets, boys, he comes home, and the wife now is all helter-skelter. As you walk in now, she's firing one way. You're tired, you came home. This fellow is troubling, and he's troubling, and he's troubling, and he's like this, and he's like that, I'm tired of him. You know what to do now. Doesn't listen to me, doesn't listen. See, he broke this, emptied the shampoo, and then the Milo is all over the kitchen. When the child becomes disruptive and destructive, two things remember, disruptive, no respect. Elders are speaking, come jumping in there on the sofas. Doesn't know when to stop, he doesn't know what's the cut-off line. Disruptive. Guest came now, he's serving the tea and the biscuits, he wiped the biscuits. Telling him, bhai, don't come here, he's not interested. Coming, running and going, disruptive. Banging the doors, up and down, got no respect whatsoever. Speak to his granny anyhow, speaks to the elders anyhow, disruptive. Destructive is breaking things in the house now. Jumping on the bed, emptying the shampoos. People say, hey, see how cute he is. Come see what he did. He's not cute. So now he has to be disciplined. He has to be disciplined. What point I was making before that? Huh? So you just enter the house and the wife will start on me. And now you're in the firing line. That he did this and he did that, doesn't listen, look at his homework, the books are upside down, work is not done, teachers are complaining, now they call us for a meeting. He's not performing in school and there he's hitting the light is also, and what's his problem? And you just walked in now, said, Inna Lillah. Where is he? Where is he? Bring him here. And then you take him and one. And after you hit him, then the fight is on between husband and wife. Why you hit him? The way you said, like I must kill him. Make him shaheed. How you hit him like that? But the way you shouted like this. Zakim Sahib says, understand and read the situation. Read the situation. He says, that when you will hit the child like that, then she'll grab him. Maropuro, my son, how you hit my child like that? And you standing like that. Now like you got blackmail. Now she's hugging him. And you looking like you're the bad guy. But you complain so much about him. So I have to discipline him. Yeah, but not like that. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib would say, if you want your wife to love you to bits, love her children. It's her children. She'll hold the child after that. She'll hit, not a problem. You hit, you're the bad guy. He says, so read the situation. Read the situation. If you make tarbiyat, then learn how to make tarbiyat also. How to make tarbiyat, otherwise he'll hate you. He's got no time for the children. He's got no mercy for them. How he beats them up and how he hits them. But she doesn't realize, we didn't understand. Now the way she became angry, that I must break this fellow and put him right, make him walk straight. And then the whole night she's crying, she'll go see him again, the right. And he's still now, he's still got the hiccups inside. And she'll hug him and she'll cry. How you hit him like that? How you hit him like that? Now you make him sorry, Amma. I didn't realize it. He says, understand it. He says, love her children, give them time and play with them. Play with them, she'll see you playing and her love will increase for you. See how he's playing with the children. See how he's giving them time. See how caring he is to them. She'll see this and he says that your wife will love you. Just giving her, and she says, my children. Although it's yours also, she says, my children. She says, on that she will love you, she'll have muhabbat for you. So this ajib wa kaabi taught us woman psychology also. How their minds work. So don't compel them to do anything which is haram. It's quite a bit, but still we just, what's the time? 42 o'clock. So we'll just finish it inshallah. We've just got a few days left now. If any problem or dispute arises in the marriage, then always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and guidance. Don't get angry. Don't lose your mind. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, start durood sharif. Start durood sharif. Now in the rahmat of Allah, shaitan is going to come in. If the problem persists, consult a pious, experienced elder or alim for advice. Go to the ulama, somebody that has experience, and ask them for advice how to handle it and how to work around it. Live simply. Don't be jealous of those who seem to be living a more luxurious life than your family. Sustenance is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now is that the man is a woman. Now they're seeing the other women, how they're living it up. Where they're going for holidays. And everything's been posted on the internet. How they can go, why we can't go? Why we can't go here? Why we can't go? Now the children are speaking also in school. Hey, we went here, and we went there, we did this, we did that. And now the children are hearing, Papa, we can't go there also. The whole thing is about going for holidays now. We have to go here, we have to do this, we've got to eat out. Sustenance is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order to inculcate contentment, look at those people who have less than you, not those who have more. So sometimes make it a point also, put the family in the car on a Sunday. They might think now we're going for a nice drive somewhere. Take them for a nice drive, but take them to the locations. Take them to the location and show them how the people are living. In the tin shanties. And say, look at how they're living. See how they're living. Allah has given us. Let them see it. And you say it in the car, how much Allah has given us. These people, this child doesn't know where he's going to have lunch today. We got the picnic basket already packed in the back of the boot. So take them now and then and drive through these areas and show them like how we go for gush. We walk in these areas, there's no roads over there. House to house, how they're living. They're living for the day. We have to take our family sometime. Unfortunately, nowadays we're only driving to Amklanga. We're seeing all the estates over there and how they're living it up. That's why we're only seeing that. Those above us. We're not going to see those below us. Go and take them and see these people how they're living. And how much Allah has given us, how much shukr we have to make, how much shukr we have to make. Now sometimes something is broken in the house and so long they're complaining, when are you fixing it up, when are you fixing it up, when are you fixing that, when are you fixing this. And say, see this, what we got in the house, we don't even have a quarter of this. And now we're crying. Yes, we have to fix it up. But be patient also, but see how the people are living. They don't even have this. And the irony, my dear brothers, the irony, we find our own workers when they're leaving home in, after long days of work and how they are walking for 5 kilometers with big smiles. We're sitting in the car and we're so gloomy. Because the aircon is on, we've got the phone and we're tired, frustrated. That guy did a hard day's labor and he's walking home with a big smile. He got a little bit in his hand, 2 onions, 2 potatoes, 2 tomatoes. We got a whole meal waiting at home. And we're so frustrated. And he's smiling. He's smiling and the irony also, if you have to give him one slab of chocolate, he says, oh, boss. What do you give him? 1 Cadbury's. Somebody sent some lint. Hey, we got so much already here now. Just put it there. Put it in the shelf. No qadar anymore. You gave him just an extra 10 rand or 20 rand you gave the domestic. Oh, boss. Somebody gives us a 10,000 rand. Shukr, alhamdulillah. It is something. The 10,000, what we show Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, nothing. Family is to like nothing. And you give the domestic one 10 rand, like you made a day. Give them one luxury, chocolate, Allahu Akbar. What a big thing for them. It shows now how much of na shukri we're making. There's no more value put to the ni'mat of Allah. This bimari, as it says, has gripped the ummah, where we have this sense of entitlement. Sense of entitlement. That I supposed to be living like this, I supposed to be eating like this, I supposed to have a house like this. I'm entitled, it's my birthright to be have a car like this. How many a girl will say, I'll never sit in a car like that. I'll never sit in a car, never. Papa, I'll never sit in that car. Don't they ever take me to school in a car like that. If you tell her, you know, the car gone for service, I'm taking you in the van, I'm not coming. I'll never sit in that van. My friends will see me in a bucky. How can it happen? The sense of entitlement. Inna lillahi. Who told you entitled to sit in a nice car? Who told you entitled to eat food like this? Who told you? We don't have any entitlement. But as I say, Allah Ta'ala spoiled us so much. Allah spoiled us so much. Our children are growing up like this. If I don't get a new kurta for Eid, I'm entitled. I have a right. How come you didn't buy me? Young girls are going into depression at the age of 10. My father didn't buy me this. He didn't give me this. He didn't give me this. They feel the right of entitlement. I'm supposed to have these things. From already young, they got into depression. How many young children we know are going to psychologist already? They came for therapy. They came for therapy because my mother told me this, or my father didn't give me that, and all my friends had it, and this and that. All the emotions they're going through. Allah Ta'ala forgive us that we put them on such a high platform now. That they have this sense of entitlement. I've got to. As it says, we are only living the bounties of Allah. We are slaves of His kindness. That's what we are, slaves of the kindness of Allah Ta'ala. Nothing else. It's only the kindness of Allah. Even the writing, Allah was so kind. Allah was so kind. Overnight our brothers came with milk and bread and supplies. Allah, leave taking care of our necessities. We are so spoiled by Allah. Leave our necessities. What our brothers did from Transvaal, they came down, sacrificed their lives, the amount of ammunition and artillery they came with. If only we hear the Karguzaris. What they came with. They came to a war zone. We know what it was. How the Zelos were going on and off. They came, not only brought our necessities, my dear brothers, look further than that. Allah Ta'ala put the ummah into motion overnight. Already they had the fund for milk and bread and supplies. Deliver, take it to Durban. And they were coming with the trucks, the superlinks were coming. The first ones, the second ones. It was only milk and bread. If those brothers didn't come, Allah Pak reward them and bless them. If they didn't come, and so-called Christian and other NGOs had to come in, and they came with the milk and the bread and supplies, and the churches were distributing, and the temples and synagogues were distributing, and we had to stand outside the church waiting for the milk and the bread. Inna lillahi. How are we going to stand? Standing outside the temple and taking the milk and the bread, and then telling the person there, I got a mother at home, she's old, she can't come also. No. Sorry, I can't give your mother. Bring your mother and come too. Bring your father and come also. They must stand and they must collect their own. Why? We're not going to bring our parents there. We're not going to stand there in the first place. What those things did wasn't just milk and bread. They kept our izzat as Muslims. They're from our masajid they were distributing. They saw the ummah of the ummah. Allah kept such izzat of ours as Muslims. Otherwise, we're not going to go line up over there. Allah has given us iman. But as I said now, we've been spoiled so much, we have the sense of entitlement. That's why we have to take our children. We have to go for that gush sometime. Once a month, take out the time, take our little boys, go to the informal settlements, walk there and see how they are living. The reality, my dear brothers, I'm sitting in the car, that beggar is by the door outside. The reality, I know how much of sin and guna in my life, being a mu'min and a Muslim. I didn't do anything good to be behind the steering wheel. He didn't do anything sinful to be standing on the street. It is only Allah's kindness. Parents' du'as, grandparents' du'as, a little bit of their mehnat, Allah's ihsan, I'm sitting in this car. I'm not deserving of it. And his parents couldn't make the sabr, they went onto the street, they put him on the street. If Allah Ta'ala was to turn the tables around, it can happen. One earthquake, you see what happened. The man is camping outside his house in a tent, and his whole house in front of him, tilted like that. Scared to go in his own house. My clothes are there. Everything of mine is there. But I can't even go in my own house. I have to sleep in a tent. I'm safer sleeping in a tent. It's a reality. We know that. It's happening right now. Allah can just have one earthquake like that. So we have to get out of the deception of ours. Get out of the deception of ours. Take the families. Take them for a drive in the informal settlements. Go and see. Sometimes go for gush, take our children and see how the people are living over there. And tell them, we make shukr, we make shukr, we make shukr. Allah has given us so much, given us so much. Now we can't complain. Now you take the child to the supermarket. Papa, I want this. Say, Baba, but you don't buy it now. Take that money and give it to the guard outside. Or go buy it for him. Today we won't eat it. Or let's buy it, take it, let's go give that family over there. Let him feel the enjoyment of spending on them. Instead of you eating it, let the children enjoy it today. There's totally this sense of entitlement will come out. In the house also, we want to eat out, we want to do this, we want to do that. Let's go buy, let's go share with somebody. Well, this thing has to come into their hearts. That's why we keep on sadqatun in the house. Keep on sadqatun in the house before they leave, put it in there. Sometimes give them the sadqah in their hand also, or give somebody. So make it a habit for them. So Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. We just got a few points left, we'll finish it, inshallah. Be mindful of your discussion topics. Never discuss things with others about your marriage that your spouse would not like to discuss unless there is an Islamic reason to do so. Friends, especially the ladies now, they tell their friends about their private lives. It's absolutely haram. You can't divulge, disclose your private matters to anybody, especially the ladies when they get together. And unfortunately, it's become the norm nowadays. And then they get fancy ideas. Oh, your husband does like this. My husband, bichara, is dry. Doesn't do anything. Now they feel incomplete after that. All these haram discussions take place because they're not dini friends. Even the husbands also, sometimes they discuss, newlywed couples also, how was it? Is that your business? How was it? It's my private life there. There's a worse thing to disclose your private matters or to talk anything about your wife to anybody else. Some husbands and wives, believe it or not, complain to others about their spouse's physical appearance. That do not correct. This is your private matter between you and your wife. This is why we say, for Allah's sake, this socializing has become now a poison. Socializing, couple socializing. We go eating together. My family and his family and that family, we're all friends socializing. We booked out for the weekend or we're going somewhere holidaying also. The reality is we don't know that couple what problems they're having behind the scenes. This couple what problems they're having behind the scenes. And always it will happen now that she will think, hey, but her husband is very nice to her. And he will think now that his wife is very nice to her. And now they strike a conversation. And we know what's happening. What taqaza he has, what taqaza needs she has. And the whole haram relationship starts after that. Hazakim Sahib will say, rahmatullah alayhi, it happens in families also, no parda. And more than often you will find, when you're sitting as a family, unfortunately, brother-in-law, sister-in-laws, that the brother-in-law gets more charming with the sister-in-law than his own wife also. He joke more with her. He was impressed her more than his own wife. Sometimes she's speaking to her sister, he wants to make a comment. No, tell her this, tell her that. But he won't speak to his wife so nicely. But now he's more charming to the sister-in-law. As Hakim Sahib says, be careful. Be careful. And how you will say it, say, who you thought, say, oh man, who you thought was your son, turned out to be your nephew. Who you thought was your son, turned out to be your nephew. Because there's no parda in the house. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshallah. But this is the recipe for disaster. Discussing now physical appearances, information about your intimate relations should be kept between you and your spouse. Now we're advertising it now on the internet and on the Facebook, everything is documented over there, uploaded. As far as possible, try to have meals together as a family. Very important. Must have meals together. Now Hazrat says the houses have become like hotels. Come your own time and eat. Each child got their own bedroom, own bathroom also. Before, we were all doing things together. Now it's all on their own. There's no control. Once he's in the room, the door is closed. Don't know what's happening behind closed doors. So we're living in hotels right now. Before, we hear our elders would say we were 10 children, only 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, 1 bathroom. And what muhabbat and love. Now we've given the children everything. And there's no connection between the hearts anymore. Express your appreciation, whether the cook is the husband or the wife. You must say, shukriya, jazakallah khair, it was very tasty, appreciated. Say one to good words at least. Show the appreciation to the wife, to the family. Even to the child also, it is something for you, appreciate it, jazakallah bachu. Allah Pak reward you, Allah Ta'ala keep you. Make du'as, make a habit of making du'as in the home. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not complain about food put in front of him. Do not look for faults. Do not look for faults. Number 11, exchange gifts. This creates love. for the wife, they shouldn't buy hadiya, buy gifts. Fulfill the rights of one spouse, don't demand your rights, rather ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill your rights. Give up your rights and ask Allah ta'ala to fulfill your rights. Allah ta'ala give us understanding and tawfiq and follow our homes with deen and muhabbat and amal, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, and make our homes jannati homes, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.